Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 4 of Ever Upward Show. That is the New York Excelsior fan show. I'm your host, Blevins, and we've got a great show for you today. A lot of great stuff in the NYXL community, and the team's obviously doing pretty good, so let's jump right into it. So first and foremost, let's go over some of the stuff that New York put out. We'll talk about some stuff from the community. We'll talk about the results from last week, as well as the preview for this week, and then we'll go over some fan questions. We'll also talk a little bit about XL2, which is the academy team for NYXL, of course. But first, let's start with the content that was put out officially by New York Excelsior. We got another NYXL Unleashed video. That's season 2, week number 3. This one kind of follows ARC. These videos have been kind of behind the scenes on game days and for the week. We're a week behind right now, so the next one should be coming out probably either tomorrow or the next day for week 4. And they've kind of followed one player and then walked through it. We've seen a Libero, we've seen a Mono, we've seen ARC. There might be some other ones from earlier that I don't remember, but this one's quite good. It's nice to get that insight into what the players are thinking, you know, before the games, during the matches, at halftime, then after, etc. So definitely check that one out. That one, of course, is on the NYXL official YouTube page. And guys, all the links to everything I'm talking about are going to be down in the description below, so don't worry about having to go out and find anything. Next thing here is, I guess, technically kind of officially from NYXL, but the official NYXL subreddit has a community survey right now to try to improve the community, so definitely partake in that. Again, the link is in the description. It takes, 2 seconds, and you get to, contribute your feedback to see how to let them know how you want to make the NYXL subreddit better. So definitely do that. And then I saved the best for last here for news. But NYXL is coming to New York. So it's like the homecoming for the team. It's going to be April 2nd at City Field. That might be wrong. At City Field. Okay, I was right. The Met Stadium. It's going to be a meet and greet signing. There's going to be signings at 5:40 Eastern. And then after the signings, going to the game at 7:10. It's the Mets versus the Phillies. So if you're a baseball fan, it's going to be great. Even if you're not, honestly, I'm not the biggest baseball fan in the world. I used to be when I was very young, so I understand and appreciate the game. But even if you're not, I've gone to baseball games with people who are just not even remotely into baseball whatsoever. When you're with a group of friends and a community like this, the NYXL community in New York City, going to anything is going to be great. And I don't know the details about if the team is going to be, if we're going to be sitting with the team, etc. I'm not sure about that. That one, I can't confirm or deny whether I'm going to be there. And I'm not saying that as like an allusion to that I'm actually going to be there. I legitimately don't know if I'm going to be able to go or not. It is something I absolutely want to, but I'm crunching the logistics. That was revealed today. So I got to crunch some logistics and see if I can make it there. It would be awesome if I could. It's definitely an event that I absolutely want to go to. I think it's going to be great. Meeting the team for the first time will be great. There's going to be signings. They said there's a surprise there, and I don't know what that's going to be. I'm sure the Five Deadly Venoms guys are going to be there as well. I haven't heard anything saying that they're not going to be there, but this is an official meet the team. The team's going to be there. I don't know if I made that clear. The team is going to be there, and they're going to be doing signings and meet and greet. So the link, of course, is down in the description, but there you have to buy tickets to this. I think the tickets are $20, and the section is already determined for the NYXL group. So you don't need to worry about like, oh, am I going to be sitting near everybody? They already have it blocked out, and I think the tickets are probably discounted, I would imagine, because $20 for a Philly Mets game seems low. So definitely, if you didn't really care about the signing and you just want to see the game for cheap, this might be the best way to do that. But honestly, super, super exciting. It's going to be awesome to finally get to, introduce them to the city that they're representing. I think a lot of people had that criticism coming into it, that obviously none of them are from New York. And New Yorkers can get very defensive about their teams and very territorial with their teams and their region. So it is really nice to see that they're going to be having a homecoming, and hopefully, I hope it's going to be packed. I would imagine it's going to be packed. So definitely get your tickets as soon as you can. And if I am going, and I know by next week, I will let you guys know. I'll let you guys know next episode whether or not I'm going. I'm not. You know, holding it back just for the sake of holding it back. I legitimately don't know yet. So keep an ear out for that. You might even be able to get to see me there. I'm sure the NYXL, the Five Deadly Venoms guys are going to be there. Guys and gals. So let's move on and talk about some of the stuff from the community. This one is really cool here. ESPN.com is doing a who's your favorite esports pro March Madness sort of bracket voting game type of thing. And both Arc and Pine are in the top 64. So, head to the link on there. I think all the voting is done on Twitter, and they're doing like a bunch. They're doing like a bracket each day, like a quarter of the bracket each day. And then it's going to, you know, obviously whittle down, as the tournament goes on, but go in, you know, support Arc, support Pine, and definitely even there's some other Overwatch League players in there. I believe Sure4 is in there, Prophet, I think, Baby Bay is in there for sure, and there's a couple others that I don't remember off the top of my head, but definitely go in there, show some support for Overwatch League, and definitely show some support for NYXL there. From what I remember, I went and voted on everything. A lot of the players I didn't know from other esports, but I know that the Overwatch League players that are being voted on now are winning right now. So let's keep that up and make sure that they continue to be up top. And especially for Pine and Arc, we definitely want to see that as well. Another piece here is a community art done here. It was titled "The Tanks of NYXL: The Art of the Tanks." It is done by Azuchan. That's at @AZUCCHANN_ on Twitter. Really a nice piece done. It's kind of like a cartoony version of Janice, Mono, and Mecco. So definitely check that out. I got the link down there, of course. It's always nice to see those pieces of art. There's definitely dozens of pieces of fan art that are done about NYXL a week, so I can't cover everything. I'm usually going to focus on the things that are retweeted by the official NYXL Twitter, things that are on the subreddit, and most importantly, things that are sent to me. So if you have art that you do, or you see something that you think is really great, send it over to me. You can head over to the Discord. That's discord.me/highnoonpodcast. There's an Ever Upward Show text channel there. Submit it there. I go through everything before the show. I don't necessarily talk about everything, but right now I am talking about everything that gets put in there. So definitely submit anything there for that. And then the last thing here from the community here is something that is really, really great and honestly has multiple episodes worth of topics in and of itself. But on the NYXL subreddit, one of the mods, Hark Sharks, actually went through all those Q&As from Reddit, Q&As from Reddit and Q&As from Discord that I talked about being like, it's just full of garbage and I can't go through it all. Well, he did, or she, they did. And there's actually a Google folder there with all of the different documents for each Q&A that they've done with the questions and the answers. So really, really expansive content there. I believe, let's see, there are 2, 4, 6, 7 different files, and there's actually one that the AMA is going on as I'm recording this or had just ended, so there's probably going to be another one very shortly. So definitely check that out. All those question and answers are in there, and guys, make sure that you're in the NYXL Discord, because they do those AMAs like on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, just about, or maybe once a month. I don't know, they've done 7 of them so far, or 6, so definitely a lot. So you're definitely going to want to check that out. They give you a chance to interact with the team as closely as possible, except if you go to the signing, of course, which you can meet the team, which is going to be really, really great. I can't, you know, the more I think about it, the more I want to go. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to, for a number of reasons, but I'll let you know for sure. But that's going to be it for the community, guys. Remember, anything that you see from the community, any suggestions you see, any sort of content that you see during the week that's related to NYXL, send it over to me. I want to talk about and go over the things that you want me to go over. So let's move on and talk a little bit about XL2. That, of course, is the NYXL Academy team in Overwatch Contenders right now. They lost a close one here to Gladiators Legion 3-1. I didn't get to catch a whole heck of a lot of it. I did catch a couple of maps. And from what it looks like, I mean, the team's looking really good, but Gladiators Legion is a very good team in Contenders right now. It seems like the stars here for XL2 are Mangachu and Nene, it seems. So, I imagine that a lot of these stars that we're seeing from Contenders right now are going to end up in the Overwatch League sooner rather than later. I would imagine Mangachu and Nene. I'm not sure how old Nene is. Might be too young to play in Overwatch League, but Mangachu for sure. A lot of these top prospects that are 18 and over probably going to be making it into Overwatch League sooner rather than later. So you're going to be able to preview that. Also of note, for Contenders, just for Contenders in general, is that they are on live patch when they play. So things that aren't necessarily in Overwatch League is on its own patch, which is usually a patch behind, and it's locked in time, essentially frozen. Nothing changes in Overwatch League unless it needs to be changed drastically. You're going to be seeing stuff happen live for Contenders or in Contenders. So I don't know what their ruling is on Brigitte, but she came out on live patch on live servers today. So it's possible that we see Brigitte come in. They might ban her or maybe not allow her, but it's possible that we're almost certainly going to see her in Contenders before we see her in Overwatch League. So definitely something to check out. And small shameless plug here for other High Noon Productions here. We do have a show called Blackwatch Report that's hosted by Thorn Rain and by Kyle Wynn. They go over the Tier 2 scene, Contenders being the main bulk of it. So if you are interested in Contenders, definitely check out Blackwatch Report. You can search for it on iTunes, YouTube, and anywhere that you've listened to your podcasts. Next week, we're going to be playing against Grizzly Gaming. I really don't know anything about this team. I didn't get a chance to check out the roster either for Grizzly. But I know that XL2 is in the top. They are in the... XL2 is one of the top teams. I mean, we lost to Gladiator Legion. That was a close one. Grizzly is a little bit more unknown, to me at least. So definitely check into Blackwatch Report to get the analysis there more in-depth. But I would imagine that we're going to be doing great. And of course, we're going to be rooting for them going into it. So that's going to be it for XL2. Let's move into the results. For last week, of course, we had an easy clap, 2 wins. Okay, it wasn't that easy. One of them was, but one of them wasn't. I'm actually going to start with Shanghai here just because there's not too much to talk about. It was a 4-0. It was a really quick, dominating 4-0. The only thing that's really worth mentioning here for the Shanghai match is that we didn't see Pine, and I'll go into that in a minute. I talked about it last week about how I put my Blevins tinfoil hat on and thought that maybe we were holding Pine as a secret strategy for Seoul, which didn't pan out or which didn't happen, or perhaps that he was going to come in and play Tracer against Shanghai and give SBB and or Libero a week off or some time off. That didn't happen either. Excuse me. Besides that, it was just nice to see that we didn't drop a map to them. We've seen time and time again that NYXL really doesn't push it to the limit in terms of being close to losing, but they usually get a 3-0 or a 2-1 and then win the last one easily, or win the third. They win the third one very easily, and then the fourth win is kind of where they ease off the accelerator. I'm glad that even though it was Shanghai, last place team hasn't gotten a win yet, I'm glad that we just kept cruising through. No need to give out free map wins. I'll talk about the playoff scenarios here later on in the show, but we don't want to give up anything. They say it on the broadcast, and I'll reiterate it. Every single map counts, especially ones against Shanghai. It was nice to see that they didn't take the foot off the accelerator here. Now, the important match, the very important and telling match here that was actually played first was against Seoul. We, of course, won 3-2. That was a heart jerker. So we start off, we win map one pretty decisively. Map two, Seoul takes. Then map three, Seoul takes. And I'm like, oh no, not this again. We came out to such a strong start. And like, not only that, map two and map three were kind of sloppy on our end. And we've seen this happen before. I remember when we played against Seoul in stage one, that map on Horizon, which for what it's worth was a pretty bad map for NYXL in general, but the map on Horizon was just sloppy. And we saw this one played almost exactly like when we played Seoul stage one, where like NYXL comes out really strong, then they like look a little bit sloppy, and Seoul can really take advantage of that sloppiness. Then when we came back, we win map four, and then it goes to a map five, and we actually win it pretty decisively, but oh man, was that intense. So there's a clip here that I will link in the description from Five Deadly Venoms at Wake Point Cafe. The clip, like right before we win against Seoul, place erupts. I was watching at my girlfriend's house, and I was just like, yeah, just like screaming when we won that map five. It's like those ones, like honestly, like I'll take a 4-0 any day against any team. I'll take that. But like, you don't get as involved, and you don't feel the win. You don't feel like you earned it in the same way if it's a 4-0 than if it's a 3-2. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll take a 4-0 all day. I just want the W's. I don't actually care one way or the other. But when you're there after the fact, I love the 3-2 just from the like raw emotion that you feel while you're watching the match. And you really can't, like, it's just, it's something you can barely even describe. I don't know. I'm like at a loss for words. It's just like raw emotion that you feel. And that right there was something I was a little bit worried would not carry over to Overwatch. Now, you see that with sports all the time, you know, big upsets, etc. We're seeing that in Overwatch, and I'm really loving that. And that's part of the reason why I'm dedicating so much time and I'm so passionate about Overwatch, is because we're getting, Overwatch League rather, we're getting that sort of raw emotion that we see in a regular season match. This isn't even, you know, a playoff match, but two, you know, rival teams playing against each other and really duking it out and having a really close match just feels so good. So that was that. Really glad we got that W there. Really kind of secured our chances for playoffs here for stage number two. Now next week, or this week, however you want to look at it, we're playing against Dallas Fuel and LA Valiant. I've got us pegged here for two wins. I don't want to say easy wins, though. I think that we are going to win pretty decisively. I'd say we were going to win very decisively against Fuel, potentially a 4-0. I've got it marked as a 3-1. We dropped a map to Fuel in stage one. They've shown that they can compete with top level teams. Obviously, the core of Envious is a historic esports team. Now, they haven't really shown that in the recently, however, they have the capacity to perform at the highest levels. I don't think it's going to be enough to take NYXL to the brink. I don't think it's going to necessarily be close, but I do think that they have the capacity to take a map. We've done a much better job, like I mentioned with Shanghai, of not taking our foot off the gas here and really taking it to teams, and we've become very, very consistent, especially in stage two, and I'm hoping that that's going to continue. I would love to see a 4-0 here against Dallas Fuel, especially since they're a team in shambles. You don't want to give them anything because they're a team that's in shambles right now, and they're very inconsistent, and they don't know necessarily what they're doing with their team on that level. But in terms of skill, they have the skill. They have AKM, they have Rascal, they have Effect, they have some of the best players in the world on their team. It's just they haven't really found a way to mix them together in the best way. So they have the skill to beat any team, and if we give them an inch, they may in fact take a mile from us, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want to even give them anything. Just put your foot on the throat and just go. For Dallas, now I'm really not that worried about it, but it's just one of those things where you don't want to take a team lightly just because they've been doing poorly lately. You know, a lot of teams did that against Gladiators. They're probably still potentially doing it against Florida. These teams have the ability, when you have world-class players on your team, you can put together something. You can put together wins against anyone, so do not underestimate anyone. And then the last match here is against LA Valiant. I think it's a similar situation to Dallas Fuel. They are looking they're looking worse comparatively than they did at the beginning of the season. It seems like a lot of these teams, Overwatch League teams, have gotten much better and improved and gelled and figured out a strategy and are bolstering that strategy, where LA Valiant has been moving pieces around. You know, they've got Kareev playing DPS half the time, he's playing support half the time, and that's great to have a flexible player. But I talked about this on the High Noon Podcast flagship show. Having a player who's an 85, an 85 rank on support and also an 85 rank on DPS is just not as good. It's just not as good as if you have two players that are on 100. So even if you have Kareev, if Kareev is splitting time and splitting scrim time between support and DPS, it's going to hurt both of his. It's going to hurt his performance on both DPS and also on support. So it's not looking, it's not necessarily looking great for them. But that being said, they have also shown that they have the capacity to beat top level teams, or at least compete with top level teams. I don't actually know if they have too many wins against Korean rosters. I don't have that stat off the top of my head, but they've definitely never beaten us. I don't want this week to be the first, and I don't imagine that it's going to be. Same sort of message here from the Dallas Fuel, just put it on hard and keep going. I believe, and I know Overwatch League will likely do the little stage playoff math breakdown on their preview show or during the week, so I haven't done the math exactly, but the ballpark and eyeball math that myself and Deathblow did on the flagship show was that NYXL needs to win one of these two to secure the playoff spot. Now, if they lose both and also some other stars aligned, they could potentially get dropped into fourth place. It is theoretically possible, but it would involve the right people winning by the right amount. So it's unlikely that we're not going to get a play. That's if we lose both. So we're not mathematically locked for a playoff spot, but if we win one, we are. Now, if we win both, we're obviously in first place for the stage. And if we win one, we're probably in first place. But again, I believe there's some stars that could align for another team to take the first place seed, for the stage playoffs. So, looking forward, assuming that we're the number one seed, which I think is the most likely scenario here for the stage playoffs, we're going to have to play against either Spitfire, likely London Spitfire, but potentially Seoul or Gladiators, or there's a very outside chance that it's Philadelphia, but I'm not even going to go through that scenario because it's so mathematically unlikely. So three possible final matchups. We could have the rematch between Spitfire. We could have another Slobberknocker in Seoul. Or we could have the Gladiators, which honestly might be the scariest one of them all. And here's why. We have not played them in a very, very long time. The Gladiators of week four or week five of stage two are very, very different than the Gladiators that we faced and we crushed. And they are on a tear right now. They have finally, the Gladiators, they've upgraded excuse me, obviously with Fisher. That was a huge upgrade for them, but they've also kind of figured out, maybe it was because Fisher was the anchor that kind of holds down the team, but they figured out what they need to do with the rest of the team. They've got their DPS line working with Asher, Sherfor, and Hydration. They've got their strats for each map and knowing who's playing what on which map. Bigus and Shaz, I've said for since the beginning of the league, are one of the best support lines in the league. And it would be a hard match, so I think that The likely scenario here is that it's NYXL number one, London, and Gladiators number two and three. Now, Gladiators have just beat London, so that would be a crazy match in and of itself to play for the to go to the finals here. Honestly, that's anyone's game, and I don't know who I want to face less. I don't know who I would rather face. Gladiators or Spitfire. If you ask me, like, who do I want to face, LA Gladiators or Spitfire, the first initial reaction is like, I'd rather face Gladiators, but I don't know if that's true. I also don't know if Gladiators are going to be able to take London Spitfire again, because London Spitfire is quite possibly the best team in the league for the rematch, playing the rematch. They have their core, even the GC Busan core back into Apex, one of the best rosters at being able to analyze a team, break down their strategy, and counter it, even if they weren't necessarily the highest skilled players on paper. They were very, very good at breaking that down. Now, they have that same ability to break it down, break down the strategies and counter them, and they have higher skilled players. Birdring absolutely tore us up in the stage finals for stage one, and it was you could see they played a different game. We played them earlier that day, and we won. And then you could see them play it. We played them again later in the day, and it was almost like a different team showed up. Birdring played out of his mind, but not only that, they also just positioned properly. They knew exactly who they needed to counter for NYXL and how. So the one thing that could bode well for us against London Spitfire is that when we played against them before, it was in the first week of the stage, we didn't have Arc. We had Mono on support, Mono and Jonak, with Janus and Mecco on tank, SBB, and Libero on DPS. They don't necessarily have the experience playing against us at full strength with our full strategy. So it's possible that we have that edge going into it. We took the loss during the stage to potentially win the stage playoffs here, which could be big. I think that regardless, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a crazy rematch finals against London, or it could be a crazy, kind of an unknown Gladiators versus NY. I think we're favored in either. I think a lot of people might argue that we're not favored against London because they've kind of had our number the last few times, but I think we are. But I absolutely mean that, not just because I'm fanboying. I think that we are a grade above London right now. They have excellent counterplay, but that's minimized because of the reasons I just spoke about. So I think we are in a very, very good position here, not only to make the stage two playoffs, but also to take them home and break the streak of choking in a playoff situation going all the way back to the LW Blue Days. So definitely a great week to be an NYXL fan and a great week to root for NY. They're going to need as much of the support as they can get, and hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to meet and greet them in New York, the homecoming, as stage two champions. So that will be great. But that is going to bring us to the last segment of the show. That, of course, is the fan questions, comments, concerns. Guys, remember, you can get these over to me on the Discord like I talked to before. You can also tweet at me at EverUpwardShow on Twitter, or you can email me everupwardshow@gmail.com. So I'll go over a couple of the comments and suggestions and questions that I got on the Discord. The first comes from the Bellman, who says the Blevins tinfoil hat theories. He wants more, the merrier. I absolutely am willing to come up with tinfoil hat theories on a. I'll come up with tinfoil hat theories as much as I can. Oh, and that actually reminds me. So I'm going to backpedal here. The tinfoil hat theories reminds me, because my tinfoil hat theory last week was Pine. And we did get word. Pine hasn't played in the last few weeks, as many of you know. Many people have asked me, where's Pine? How come Pine's not here? It was actually a thread on the NYXL subreddit. Where's Pine? Why isn't he playing? He's so good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So initially, the question was, why isn't Pine playing? He's the best player in the league. Like, why don't we see him play all the time? And Bearhands kind of addressed this on Twitter and Discord and whatnot. And he's like, you know what? Just because a player's not starting doesn't mean he's not great. And our strategy as a team is not necessarily like you would see traditionally with basketball or baseball, football, where the starter is the best player and they're going to play the whole game if possible. We've seen NYXL's strategy shape around Pine being a specialist. We get that. He's like a closer in baseball, which I've talked about before. Makes sense. But now we haven't seen Pine in weeks, it seems. I think this is the third week where we haven't seen any Pine whatsoever. He played in the first week of the stage, I believe. So where in the world is Pine? Well, Zoe actually went and talked with the coaching staff of NYXL and got the word that Pine has not been feeling well, and specifically he's not sick, he's not ill, he's not sitting because he can't physically play. He's just been lethargic and not up to play, doesn't have the energy and the I don't want to say doesn't have the motivation, but doesn't have the energy to play. And I get that. When you're in a place that's not your home, when you're not necessarily used to playing on stages like this, and definitely not used to playing on stages like this so far away, it can definitely be tough. And I get that. I've had that happen with basketball for me before, obviously to a lower extent, to a lesser extent than this. But I've definitely had it happen before, where you just, nothing is wrong with you physically. It's just a mental thing. You're away from your family, perhaps for the first time. You are, all of your friends live in another country. You don't get to see your friends. You're basically insulated in this ecosystem. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I get that you might be listening to this. And then honestly, another part of it that they didn't explicitly say, but I would imagine and here's why I say this, is because I feel this, I'm in a similar position. When you have a sedentary lifestyle, which I absolutely do. I know a lot of the Overwatch League players do too. If you're not actively working out, and getting exercise, and you're eating not even necessarily junk food, but you're eating catered food, you're eating the catered food that they get at the studio, they're going out, they're eating a lot of junk food and other food like that, you get in, your body gets into this habit of being in a sedentary lifestyle. And again, I'm in the same way. Like you can kind of almost take a look at me, I'm a big dude, and I've had this happen before. And the biggest thing that not exercising does to you is that you just don't have energy. It's kind of counterintuitive. You'd think, oh, well, if I work out all the time, I'm going to be tired all the time. Well, that's the case for a little bit, but then your body gets used to it, and you're actually gaining energy from doing that. So what I wanted to do here, and I talked about it a little bit on the flagship show, is I want to challenge Pine. Okay, I'm a big guy. I have a sedentary lifestyle as well. I want to, you know what, Pine, I'm putting the challenge on you, bud. Let's get in shape. However we want to do this, let's do this, man. Let's get in shape. Let's do some push-ups. Let's do some jogging. Let's do this, man. Let's get in shape. Get you back on the stage. I know I can't do anything, to get your family closer and get your friends closer. I can't do anything but that. But I think if we both got on some sort of schedule, even if it's just running or working out, you know, three times a week. I think that can help you get back on the stage. And even if it doesn't necessarily, you know, help with the family stuff and having your friends be closer, it's going to help you feel physically better. And when you feel physically better, everything else can get better. So I'm challenging you, man. Let's do this. Let's do it together. I'm with you, man. We'll do pound for pound or whatever you want. I don't care. We'll talk about it. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe this never gets seen. But I'm putting it out there. I think it's a great idea. I want to be held accountable just as much as you. And I want to see you out on the stage, honestly. If I can shed some pounds and help you get back out on the stage and get us some extra W's here, I'm all for it. Let's do it for the team. I'm in for it, man. I'm in. So that's that whole thing. So to get back to what the bellman was saying, I can come up with tinfoil hat theories. I don't think I necessarily have one for this week, but for stage three, I'll definitely have some tinfoil hat theories. And I also, I'll put them in when they're relevant, but I don't want to necessarily make up stuff. So my tinfoil hat theory from before was legitimately something I thought of, not just something I made up for funny, for comedy or anything. I do definitely want to keep it as legit as possible and not just have it be fake and for the sake of doing it. But definitely a good question. Then we got another one here. This one's a little bit longer, so I'll just kind of breeze through it. From Spliceo Mace, thanks everyone for submitting these, by the way. Spliceo Mace says, I'd like to see stuff like the little like tidbits and quirks and stuff. And maybe little known facts. So stuff like Jonak meaning fumbling octopus, that Jonak's idol was Ryo J. Hong, and was friends with Guido before he went to Overwatch League, and different stuff like that, that's maybe not game related, but like little facts about the team. I'd be more than happy to talk about this stuff. I don't know a lot of this stuff. Like, I don't know the players personally. But if I can, if people find this stuff, or find little tidbits, or find even stuff from stream, if people clip stuff from their streams, like, absolutely, I'll talk about this stuff. I think this is a really great idea, to get a little more knowledge. I mean, maybe if I get the chance to go to the meet and greet, maybe I can get some stuff there. But like, this is something that's a really great idea. I absolutely will do if I can, but I can't guarantee that there's going to be, you know, stuff every week. But definitely a good suggestion there, Splice of Mace. And then the last one here is from Raycor, who says, now that the brand and team have had a chance to grow on you, speak a bit about your feelings towards the logo. It received low marks from the community at first, but now I feel it represents the brand remarkably well, and in many ways feels it's the most stylish. The short answer is I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I was a little, when I first saw it, I was like, this is kind of weird. I wasn't getting it. When I first heard the name, I was like, oh man, I hope this isn't the name. And there might even be an episode of High Noon Podcast, me saying like, this is a dumb name. Potentially. I don't remember exactly what my statements were, but it's definitely grown on me. Being a New Yorker, the Excelsior ever upward, you know, message and that's, I like that a lot. I always liked the color scheme. You know, blue and black and like that color combo is one of my favorite color schemes. I really like the like simplicity of the logo. And I like I think that the NYXL logo and branding goes the best with the away jerseys too. I really like it. I think there's so many opportunities for cool brands and designs and merchandise for the NYXL logo, like even more so than any other team. Now, a lot of people were like, well, Houston Outlaws is an awesome logo. Great, it is. And it's a very traditional sports type of logo. And I think that's great. I think the Gladiators have a great logo. I think most of the teams have a decent logo, but I think the most unique one here is the NYXL one. Now, it is definitely stylized. It's not a traditional sports logo like you would see from an NBA team, but it is definitely its own unique thing. And I think that the brand message of NYXL throughout all of their media and what I've tried to convey here on the show kind of all fits back into the theme of NYXL. I mean, even NYXL over Excelsior, they could have taken the brand a completely different way if they just called the team Excelsior instead of NYXL. I think the logo, the branding, everything about it all ties back together and speaks the same message, which I think is what you're trying to do with a brand and a team when you make it. So I think, honestly, I think it hit on all marks there. I'm obviously very fond of the logo here because I do literally wear the hat every single day until NYXL wins a championship, and then I have the option to wear another hat. But I seriously do. You can ask anyone that's around me. I wear this hat every single day. Check out all the episodes. I wear it at least for some amount of time every single day. And I will continue to until we win a season championship. So I'm in on it. I'm really looking forward to, I talked about this on one of the other episodes, I'm really looking forward to more merch, including those sweatpants. Those NYXL sweatpants are sweet. But no, I think it's really great. I think that the NYXL away jersey looks better than basically any other away jersey because it actually looks like it's supposed to be like that, not like it's just like the bad version of the regular jersey. Like for like Houston, I don't see why you would ever get an away jersey, or Philly, why would you ever get an away jersey? Gladiators looks all right, but still, like, it's not as good as the home jersey. I think that the home jersey and away jersey for NYXL are actually equally great. So that's that. But yeah, really great questions. Thanks everyone for submitting. That's actually going to take us to the end of the show. That's it. I know this actually ended up being a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. I thought this was going to be like a 20-minute episode. It ended up being about 40. This is about the amount of time I want to spend on these shows. This is the type of content I want to do on the show. But that is going to be it, guys. Remember, all the stuff I talked about before with how you can get in touch with me, please do that. If you have any questions, comments, gripes, groans, feedback, complaints, anything, let me know. I'm going to continue to adapt the show to what you guys want to hear and see. And if I can get in contact with NYXL at some point, I'll take their feedback as well. It's going to be a continually growing show, but it's going to grow based on what you guys want to see. This is, if no one said anything ever to me, I'm going to keep it like this. So if you hate this format, let me know. If you love this format, let me know. If you want to see something, if you love this format but you want to see other stuff, let me know, because I will be working to improve and improve and improve and improve and make the best show that I possibly can. But guys, that is going to take us to the end of the show. Remember, I've talked about it ad nauseum. You can follow all of the stuff. You can follow me on Twitter. You can find all the links there. You can also head over to highnoonpodcast.com to see all the stuff on Ever Upward Show, as well as all of the other High Noon productions, whether it's Around the Payload, the High Noon Podcast flagship show, all that good stuff. You can see that over at highnoonpodcast.com. And guys, if you want to support the show, you know, this show, all the other High Noon productions, there's two ways you can do it. If you want to go above and beyond the Call of Duty, you can go over to patreon.com/highnoonpodcast, support the show there. Super, super helpful, especially when there's you know, stuff like me going to New York to see the team, or going to BlizzCon, or going to all that stuff. Like, all that, every single dollar and cent helps those types of things happen and helps me bring more content to you guys. You can also head over to the Twitch channel. We do record live on Mondays, twitch.tv/highnoonpodcast. We record live Mondays for this show, but then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are all live shows for other episodes in the High Noon Productions universe. But that is going to be one last thing here. So if you're listening to this on the High Noon Podcast feed, and you know, the same feed that has the flagship show, that has Around the Payload, has Foul Play, all those, this is going to be the last episode that is going to be on that podcast feed. Go to wherever you get your podcasts, type in Ever Upward Show, find this show's feed, go there, subscribe to that, because this is the last episode that we're going to be on the flagship feed. We're already moved over to our own feed, and we're going to continue to only be there. And please, guys, leave a review there, because the reviews, especially early, are very, very, very helpful in the growth of this show. So that's going to be it. No more self-promotion, guys. Good luck to NYXL. Hopefully we can take home a stage trophy here. And hopefully I will be able to make it out to the event on two Mondays from now, but I don't know. But I'll let you guys know. Guys, that is going to be it. We will see you guys next week, and remain ever upward. Bye-bye.